Well, good morning to everyone this morning. I'm glad that you're here with us. Our filling in for Byron today. He's out of town for obvious reasons why a lot of you are out of town and here visiting with family, and he is doing the same. So I want to invite you this morning, as I make some introductory remarks, to turn to Romans chapter 12, which will be our text today, as we consider some things about influence and our influence. And one of the things I wanted to try to convey with this lesson today was not just that we can be an influence, you know, as Jesus talked about in his Sermon on the Mount, about us being salt and being light, that idea is about influence on people. But just, I think, we don't realize, I think, sometimes by doing good, how much influence we can have on people. We don't realize how great a work we do. On the other hand, too, that if we make choices to do evil, I think we minimize in our own minds just how much of an impact that has on everybody around us. Not just on us, but on everybody that we come in contact with. I'm glad you're here this morning. I hope you brought your Bible with you. There's a story told, a Civil War story. I'm sorry Jake's not here. I know he's a historian guy, and I like history. But there's a story told about, from the Civil War, a detachment of General Sheridan's men who had gotten pinned back in a battle and kind of in a corner, and they turned and they fled for their lives. Jumped on their horses and took off and fled. And it was about this time that General Sheridan showed up on the scene. And as he arrived, he kind of very quickly took assessment of what was going on as the men were turning around running towards him. And he stood up in his stirrups and he raised his sword up in the air. And he says, "Men, we're going the other way." And everybody stopped, and for a second, for just a moment, were silent. But then with a great roar, they turned and they worked their way back and fought to victory that day. Wouldn't it be nice if we commanded that kind of influence on people? You know, some people just seem to have that kind of influence. And I want to suggest to you today, as Christians, we can have that kind of influence. It's really simple, I think, for us to do that. But at times it seems like we're just lucky to have influence on our own family. There are Christians, I think, who would rather, you know, live their own lives in the corner than realize that they can also lead great spiritual armies. They just live their lives out in the corner, not making much of an influence on anyone, and it just shouldn't be that way with God's people. I preached a sermon a few weeks ago on a Sunday evening in which I took from the Bible seven very simple, but I believe very profound things we can do in our life to overcome this world. I have them on the board here for you to see. These are the seven things I said. Notice how simple those things are. And for those of you who are here and heard that sermon, what I said was we just do these things every day. Think about that. Read God's Word every day. Pray several times a day. Spend time with... How many since that lesson who heard that lesson, and I'll just, don't raise your hand, but just think about it yourself. If I was to ask for a raise of hands, could raise their hand and say, "I did those things every day since then." My hand would not be up. Because the fact of the matter is, we let the world, even though these things are very simple, living life in this world is not simple. And this world, a lot of times, draws us away from the things that we really should be thinking about. So I talk about, and I only bring this up because these are very simple things we can do, but very profound things to help us overcome the world. And what I want us to look at today are some more very simple things. There are actually more than seven of them, but I'm going to narrow it down to six or seven at the end. Because I think a lot of these things in Romans 12 kind of are saying the same thing, you know, just emphasizing different aspects of the same thing. So simple things that we can do to be a very profound impact and influence on people that are around us. And so that's what I want us to consider this morning. As we consider our text in Romans 12, there's a lot of things there that we're going to look at. And I'm going to read the text in just a moment. You know, what we're going to notice as we read these things, though, is that in order to make a huge difference for the Lord in the world, we don't need to know a whole lot of things. We do need to know a few things. We need to know these things. You know, people that make difference in the world are not people who have mastered a lot of things, but they are people who have been mastered by a few things. They've been mastered by a few very simple things, but very profound things. They're people who you don't have to have a high IQ. When we consider the things that we're going to look at, you don't have to have a high IQ. You don't have to be good looking. Okay, you don't have to be from a good family. You don't have to be from a good school. None of these things are required to be the person that Romans 12 tells us to be. Now, as those of you who've been in my Galatians class know, I'm a big outline guy. I like very short, simple outlines of books to memorize. And Romans is no different. I think Romans is outlined in the text of Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And in that outline, the just shall live by faith runs from Romans 12, verse 1 through Romans 15. So in that section of Scripture in Romans 12, we begin here in Romans 12. He's talking about the just living by faith. Our living by faith. And so let's look at it that way as we consider the text this morning. And I think that we can, if we commit ourselves to these simple things, that we can make a great difference here in Granbury just by being that person. Because, you know, it isn't about us. It's about what we're committed to that makes that influence. Let's read the text together, Romans 12. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high people, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now I want to spend just a minute looking back at some of the things in this text. I want to want you to consider some things that may not have been quite too clear, to make them a little clearer, hopefully. The first one that we see as we read this text, beginning in verse 3, one of the simple things that we see that help us to be a good influence on others is humility, being humble. And in verse 6, we say, using our gifts with diligence and cheerfulness. I won't get into the prophecy section, but there's certain things that we have a good ability that we may have developed in our lives that we can use for the Lord. Tim's a great song leader. I've told him many times, my favorite song leader. We have a great talent of song leaders in the congregation here. That's just one example. Many things that we may do. But also sharing the gospel with others. Any of us can do that because we can relate to certain people and that others cannot, that I can't relate to, that we can share the gospel with. The third one, verse 9, unhypocritical love. Unhypocritical love. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some of these. But I just want to bring these out in a list form, in a sense. Abhor what is evil. Now, in that word abhor, Paul is using a very strong word there. He is saying there an intense dislike for evil. And cling to what is good. We think about the word cling. We think of the opposite of that. That it's something that we... Have you ever seen a child that, you know, in trouble or something, runs and clings to the parent? You know, that idea is that's where safety and security is found. Be kindly affectionate towards one another. Verse 10. This is the word being used here is the idea of a love that a parent and a child has for one another. You know, and if we think about that, I've even stood up here and talked about that. The love you have for a child, when you have your first child, you feel a love you've never felt before. You know, but it says that we're to have that love for one another. Not lagging in diligence. That word not lagging means slothful. Don't be slothful. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, verse 11. Rejoicing in hope, verse 12. You know, we live in a world that's a terrible place. Many times we face things. I read a post by Chuck Durham this morning that was a very inspiring post about the things that had gone on in his life during this last year. And I've read several posts actually on Facebook about that. This world's not a kind place to us. But we have hope that we'll be in a place one day where we'll no longer have to endure these things. We rejoice in that hope, especially when we find ourselves being beat up by the world. Patient in tribulation. Because we have that hope, right? We can be patient in the tribulations that we face in this life. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. One of the similar ones from the previous sermon that I preached about prayer. Distributing, or the idea of contributing to the needs of the saints. What that word distributing there, to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. That idea there is that you pursue it. That you, the word being used there for... given to is one describing someone hunting something. You know, we got some hunters in the room, right? When you go hunt something, you track it down. It says to pursue hospitality that way. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. That's easy to do with our family, isn't it? With our children when they're hurt, right? Or our parents or whatever, those we love that are close to us. When they weep, we hurt. When they're happy, we're happy. But we're supposed to be that way with all of us, with everyone. Continuing that, be of the same mind. Think the same things, the idea. Don't set your mind on high people. Now, the versions you have usually say on high things, I think, and sometimes that things is in italics. It's really implied there. There's not a word there in the original language for things or people. But I think that I personally think the idea of people fits better in that verse. Because the very next word, the idea is there in verse 16. Notice what he says there. Don't set your mind on high people, but associate with the humble. It fits better in the idea of high people, I think, there. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate. Give place to the Lord for vengeance. That's actually going to be one in a minute. Live peaceably with all men. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, living peacefully them. Don't avenge yourself, but give place to wrath. Give room for the wrath of God. And don't take it from Him by taking vengeance ourselves. It is the Lord's. Feed your enemy. We'll talk about that a little bit. Overcoming evil with good. Keep the idea that overcoming evil good is in the present tense. Keep on overcoming evil with good is what he's saying there. But consider this verse. There's a scripture there, a quote from the book of Proverbs there in verse 20. And when we read this, sometimes I think we have the idea that, okay, I want vengeance on this guy. And so, you know, I want to feed him. I want to, you know, you've done this before, right? Or you've seen people do this before. When somebody does you wrong, but you do them good in return, makes them feel guilty. And sometimes we have desire. That's what we want to do. We want to make them feel guilty. But sometimes I think we have the wrong motive, because I think the intent here is their repentance. When we, you know, it says there, if your enemy's hungry, feed him, and thirsty, give him a drink. In so doing, you heap coals of fire on his head. The vision there is the Old Testament picture of repentance. You know, when they repented, they put coals on their head. They sat and put ashes and coal on themselves and sat and mourned in repentance. The idea here is that we want to turn away wrath. We want to turn away evil by doing good. Bring about their repentance. Save as many as we can. Now, in doing this, I want us to consider a couple of characters. As we've considered the text now, I want us to consider a couple of characters from the Old Testament. Characters that we probably think about being just tremendous people of faith. People that, you know, sometimes we just can't even relate to. That I wish, you know, we could be like Daniel and Joseph. And I want to look at, that's the two guys I want to look at. I want to start with Joseph. Think about Joseph. Joseph was a man of faith, but he didn't just believe in his heart. He lived out his faith, and it gained him credibility. Let's think about the kind of example that he set. Joseph was a man of integrity. Although God blessed him with success in every situation, he nonetheless worked hard. He never used his position or power selfishly. He could have had a quiet little affair with Potiphar's wife, but his desire was for the Lord. He could have squashed his brothers in vengeance. He had that power, he had that opportunity, but he honored God and he loved people. Joseph learned total dependence on God. He was a man, I believe, that lived. And it wasn't that Joseph was any profound man of faith because he was different from any of the rest of us. It's just that I believe he lived the type of person that Romans 12 tells us we should. He was that person. Think back to those things that we've looked at this morning in Romans 12. Humility. I mean, even though he grew up in the house of Jacob and he had 11 brothers and, you know, seemed rather affluent, he ended up getting sold by his brothers and lived the life of a slave to Potiphar. Lived in prison after Potiphar had him thrown in there. And he later was elevated to second in the kingdom there in Pharaoh's house. But he was humble, a humble man, and helped many in Egypt as well as those who came to him from Judea. And then think about the gifts he had. Given by God the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, he always gave the credit to God. I mean, he wasn't trying to say he was interpreting these dreams. He knew that God was doing it, and he told Pharaoh that. And Pharaoh worshipped God for their interpretation. I mean, some of these things we don't see per se. I'm pretty hypocritical love. Joseph appeared to be a man who loved people, but nothing that we really look at in his life in the Old Testament, Genesis 39 and 40, that tell us about that. But there are some things we can see. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Joseph refusing the advances of Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39. What about being patient in tribulation? When he was thrown into prison, patiently enduring that imprisonment for doing nothing wrong. In fact, for standing for what is right. And while he was in prison, in chapter 40, we read the story about the baker and the butcher and their dream. And they didn't even come to Joseph. Joseph noticed their countenance had fallen. And he went to them, said, "Why? Well, you know, why are you sad?" And wanting to help them. That, you see in that the genuine love for people that he had. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. He doesn't really talk about Joseph and Daniel's life, he does. But Joseph's life, we don't see that. But it's implied, I think, in the, him giving the glory to God when the dreams were interpreted. What about not repaying evil for evil? Joseph is a great example of that, right? He had the opportunity, but never retaliated against his brothers for what they did to him. That would be such a difficult thing to do, wouldn't it? Think about what they did to him. Worse than anything that any of my brothers ever did to me, I can tell you that. But anything that could have happened in our lives, I mean, that Joseph, my life anyway, Joseph eclipsed that, what happened to him, and he did not take vengeance on them. He probably, having regard for good things in the sight of all men, living peaceably with all men, he patiently endured his imprisonment, endured the things that he was going through. But all these things. What about Daniel? Daniel's early life demonstrates that there is more to being young than making mistakes. Daniel, there's really no characteristic which wins the hearts and minds of older people than the wisdom and words of actions of a young man, young woman, is there? Daniel and his friends have been taken from their homes in Judah and exiled. Their futures were in doubt. They had some personal traits that qualified them for jobs as servants in the king palace, and they took advantage of that opportunity. But although young when deported, they remained true to their faith. I'm talking about Daniel and his three friends. Thinking about his sphere of influence, he served as an advisor to two Babylonian kings and two Medo-Persian kings. Advisors to four different kings, Daniel did, and not to mention the three friends that were with him. God can use people wherever they are. He had quiet conviction that earned him a long-term respect. Let's think about some of the things from Romans 12 and consider Daniel as we do. Even after being placed in such a high position in Daniel 2, his humility was clear. His humbleness was clear. Daniel, given by God the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel 2, he cheerfully gave that, but was very clear when he went to them, says, "Give him time." They went to God. Daniel and his friends went to God asking for the interpretation, and they gave the interpretation to King Nebuchadnezzar and gave the glory to God, telling Nebuchadnezzar that God gave them the interpretation. We see Nebuchadnezzar later worshiping God, Daniel's God, if you will. Also, abhorring what is evil. look at Daniel. I want to look over at this because that was interesting. Look what Daniel said to King Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 4, verse 27. And as I was studying for this, I had never really noticed this point being made. I apologize about my voice. As warm as it's gotten outside, do you think it would be plenty moist, but seems to be dry. Verse 27, Daniel 4. And here's Daniel speaking. "Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. I mean, we see an attitude in Daniel in that phrase when he speaks to King Nebuchadnezzar, not only humility, but trying to get Belshazzar to do what was good and put away what was evil. Also, in repaying evil for evil, Daniel never retaliated in all that he faced. Having regard for good things in the sight of all men, living peaceably with all men. Daniel, again, living peaceably and quietly among the Babylonians for many years, inferred from Daniel 5. And Daniel 5 is when he interpreted the writing on the wall. He was a very old man at that time. It was long, many years after Daniel 2 had happened, and he became third highest in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And then he had been forgotten over the many years, and he just lived peaceably and quietly. He lived the life that we see that we're to live from Romans chapter 12. All of these things that we see in their life. Daniel and Joseph had great influence in their day because they were just men who lived out their lives, their faith, and lived for God the way Romans 12. That was all they did. God used them in many ways, gave them interpretation of dreams, things that we not necessary today, but he used them where he needed them because they were the men that they were. The Bible is just calling us to do the same thing. And that influence we will have, even right here in Granbury, will be great. Just like the things we saw in the Bible a few weeks ago, is the last one. I kind of narrowed these down to about five or six different ones, putting them together to see some simple things that we can do to have a great impact, to be a great influence to those who are here in Granbury or wherever we find ourselves serving the Lord. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. The lesson is yours to consider. Maybe you're subject to the invitation this morning. Think about the verse that Daniel spoke to Belshazzar, you know. Put away your sin, accept what is good by being, you know, put away your sin and do good by being righteous. Consider your life before God, because as Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we don't have to leave here in a wrong condition with God. And we want you to make the right decision and be right with the Lord before you leave here today. I'll just close by mentioning something that Byron mentioned last week, and that a good friend of ours that passed away last week, a week ago yesterday, that just on the moment died. Looked like she was going to be fine, very young, about 50 years old. We never know. The point in all of that that Byron was making and that I'm making is we never know when we're going to pass from this life. And if we're not ready, that is such a shame since we have so much time to do that. And we ask you to consider that this morning before you leave. And if you need to make a change in your life, we want to help you with that. If you want to do that this morning, then please come forward while we stand and while we sing the invitation song.